Every year in Advent, in years A, B, and C, all three on the lectionary cycle, the season goes through some shifts and focus along the way. Early on, first Sunday every year is always about the sort of glorious coming of Christ at the end of time as judge. So the theme of preparation is strong back there. Second couple of Sundays, second and third, John the Baptist is the one at center stage, calling us all to have our hearts open and welcome to do preparation and conversion as we seek to welcome God into the world, not just once upon a time, but every single day. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent, every single year without fail, A, B, and C, each year of the cycle, brings us to the events that led up to the birth of Christ once upon a time in Bethlehem. So this particular year, the emphasis is on the encounter of the angel with Mary in Nazareth 9 months before the birth of her son. This is the Annunciation Gospel story. An extremely important part of it, I think you would agree. The church does this because in these last days of the Advent season, or in today's case, the last hours this year of the Advent season, the church wants us to pray about the fact that what brought Jesus to be born once upon a time, the same kind of disposition of hearts for those who were part of that plan, what made it happen back then is critical to making him come again today. So the Advent once upon a time and the Advent today both depend upon the same disposition of hearts. So John the Baptist, Joseph, the Blessed Mother, however they were in their focus on the Lord back then, that teaches us how we are to be today if he is to be born again. Indeed, he must be. He wants to be. He desires to be. He has to be if we are to truly be saved. So with that in mind, then, the question becomes for this morning, what do we learn from Our Lady's beautiful scene this morning with the angel, her attitude back then, in that exchange that can help us understand how today we can become once more a means through which Christ comes into the world. He's born through us. In this long and lovely narrative from Luke, which we could say an awful lot about because it's so rich, it's one of my favorite gospel stories. I love them all, it's true, but this one's definitely dear to my heart. Maybe two things would come to mind for us this morning as we get ready for Christmas tonight and tomorrow. First one is this, the angel's unique greeting to Our Lady. It's an interesting way to say hello to somebody, isn't it? The angel comes, perhaps in the nighttime, we don't really know for sure, but nonetheless comes in the quiet of Nazareth and says, "Hail, full of grace." Hail, full of grace. So salutations or hello there. Full of grace. That's a very special thing to say to somebody. Our Lady ponders this, takes it in, rolls it over, and wonders what this might mean. And all in a moment, quite likely she would recognize this from the prophets of old. It comes from Zephaniah, actually. That's borrowed a little bit for her case. But it means, though, that God recognizes through the angel something special about her, that she's full of his life already. She's not said yes yet to being the mother of the Savior, but already at this point, because we know about her Immaculate Conception, that other dogma we celebrate a couple weeks ago, she's already full of God's life. She's full of grace. She is full of his power. She is full of his love. She's full of his might. She is full of the Most High. Indeed, the angel's most proper greeting is translated as, "The Lord is in your womb," like already. He's in your midst. Hail, the Lord is inside of you. Don't think baby just yet. It just means think in your heart. This is amazing. And if you are the Blessed Mother, you take this in with real astonishment. What does this mean for me exactly? We take our cue from this in this way. It is a fact that while none of us here are immaculately conceived, I know that for a fact, only one person ever had that done for them, that is our Blessed Mother. However, I think most of us here probably are baptized. And when we are baptized, it means original sin stain is washed away, the new life of grace begins to grow inside of us, and we are fed with God's life over and over again in profound and astonishing ways. And as we continue our walk in the Lord, and we're fed with the Holy Eucharist, and we're cleaned up in confession and sealed in confirmation and nourished by his word and strengthened by the community of the church, that puts us in a very, very similar position to our Blessed Mother, so that when God comes to us every single day, he says to us, like it is to her, "Hail, full of grace. The Lord is in your midst. The Lord is inside of you." We too become highly favored. We too become the chosen ones. We too become the vessels and the instruments. God does that for us. On my own, I can't do that, but his sacraments accomplish it. So we must believe in their astonishing power, and in the awesome plan of God to take every one of us, and the word is divinize, or raise us up to his own level of divine life. So the greeting, Hail Full of Grace, didn't just happen one time, once upon a time. Because of what would unfold through her, now it happens over and over again. God looks down at his church, looks at each one of us, and says with complete and total sincerity, Hail, full of grace. You are my chosen. You are my son. You are my daughter. If God's going to be born through us, like he was in Our Lady once upon a time, we must understand this about ourselves. We must trust in his power. It doesn't depend only upon me to get him born into the world. No, God wants to do it through me. Lift me up, raise me up, fill me up with himself. That is his promise. And indeed, he does so. So if a world that needs to see him, they can look to us, and he's born through us every single day because we are full of his grace. We have to know that about ourselves. If we don't remember that, we fall into despair, impatience, frustration, confusion. We think it's all on our shoulders. It's not true. Not true. God says, just as I did for Our Lady, I want to do for you. Just as I was born through her, I want to be born through you. You are full of grace in my life. Second beautiful piece of the gospel story for our reflection this morning comes at the end of it. It's Mary's response. We get the greeting, Hail, full of grace, beautiful. And then we have her response, which is humble and stunning and remarkable and grand all at the same time. She says, fiat. That's the word. The word in Latin is fiat. Be it done to me. Be it done. And not just a kind of passive, oh yeah, that's fine, God, you know, whatever you want. What else is on TV today? You know, kind of a response, right? This is a fiat means a wholehearted, complete acceptance of the plan with eagerness. I'm ready. Let's do it. Okay? That's what this means from her heart. She could say that because she was full of grace. That's what the Immaculate Conception is for, to get her ready for this very important yes that she had to give. Our own sacrament of life and grace, our baptism, gets us ready for the same response. Fiat, Lord, whatever you want. He wants to be born through us. It's going to happen if we give the same response. Fiat, Lord, be it done to me, according to your holy word and will, in all things. There's a catch, though. Think for a moment about what she was pondering, perhaps, as the angel was in front of her, posing this situation to her for the first time, rolling this over in her head and her heart. Could she have possibly known all that would come ahead for her? Could she have known about Herod's attack on her son, which we'll think about in a few days next week as the readings move forward at our feast calendar? Could she know about the strange circumstances around the rest of his birth, around his adulthood, around the rejection of his preaching? Could she have known he was a sign of contradiction, that her heart would be pierced? Could she have known that one day she would see him carry his cross, that she would stand there as he died, that she would take him in her arms, that she would bury him? Did she know all those things? I don't think so. I don't think so. But in her heart of faith, she was intelligent enough to know that something unique and special was going to happen to her and to her child. So rather than doing what we often do, which is what I often do, instead of calculating it all out, saying to God, well, can I get back to you tomorrow? I got to consult my, you know, accountant, my loan officer, my real estate agent, my lawyer, my attorney, my this, my that, you know, I got to get it all mapped out, and then I'll tell you if this is okay or not. She simply says, sure, whatever you want, knowing anything could possibly happen. Her fiat was total, even though she knew it would probably bring about some very challenging things. The same thing goes for us, too. If we're going to give our yes to God, it cannot be conditional. It cannot be telling God, well, I'll take what you want from me, but I want this part and that part, but I'll set this one to the side. I don't want this suffering. I don't want this problem. I want that, but not this. That is not how it works. His plan is total, as his love is total. and needs to be born, he wants our wholehearted acceptance of the entire package. Everybody loves, for example, when you're raising kids, the idea of baseball games and the yard and, you know, birthday parties and fun things like that. You don't want to think about diapers, them throwing up on you at 2 o'clock in the morning, college loans, whatever, right? But moms and dads, when you give your fiat to life, you say yes to the entire package. That's the point. When someone you love gets older, perhaps in life, or not so old, and is dying at your side in a hospice or whatever, in that moment you say yes to the entire plan. That's what marriage is. Until death do us part, and then it'll be hard. It is true. When every one of us faces suffering of any kind, sickness, frustration, difficulty, in that moment we have a chance to give our fiat. Yes, I accept all of it, not just the parts I enjoy, the entire thing. Only in that way is God going to be born. He cannot get born from only a partial acceptance. It doesn't work. You can't be partially pregnant. You know how this works, right? We must accept his plan completely. So from Our Lady, we learn these beautiful, beautiful truths. We are full of grace in his life. Hail, full of grace, he says to every one of us with complete sincerity. And we have a hard time believing, don't we, that we're really full of grace? God says, yes, you are. And because you are, you can say, fiat, I accept it. I will it. I want it. With those beautiful dispositions, then and now, he can be born, must be born, wants to be born again and again and again through us who are his hands and feet to a waiting world that needs to see him and know him through every one of us. As Advent winds down then rapidly this year, this is what he wants. Open hearts. Fiat. Let's say the prayer with Our Lady together. Lord, be done to me according to your word. I accept all of it. I accept your entire plan for me and for the world. I take it all without reservation. Come into my heart so that you can come into the world. Let your advent become your birth. Then, now, and forever. Through me.